Welcome, ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. Happy Thursday out there. We are graced with two girls today.
You're always surprised.
In the studio.
You're always surprised. Brenda Geiger is joining us, the trust attorney with Geiger Law, and she's got a new symposium coming up, which we're going to talk about later in the show.
We also have your bodyguard in the studio today.
That's right. Melissa LeMaster is here as my bodyguard and personal chauffeur today, and she is my girlfriend as well, so that always matters.
Additionally on the line, Blake Baxter. He is a tax strategist and a founding partner of the Planners Network. Blake Baxter, welcome.
Thank you. I never got to say I'm a first-time caller to a talk show, and I'm a guest, so that's cool.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Well, as mentioned, we are going to have Blake on to talk about simple systems for your assets. And he's got 6 to 7 very, very simple ideas, philosophies, things that your average financial planner is not going to tell you ahead of us. Additionally, coming up, Brenda Geiger. She is an estate planning attorney. She is an author. She is an entrepreneur. She owns her own practice over there at Geiger Law Office. Once again, Brenda Geiger. Let's start briefly with Blake and simple system for your assets.
Yeah, I'll give you a preview of the way that I like to teach my clients to think about their money. First, just a 3-step thought process. Keep all the money you make for yourself, because once it goes to the IRS, you never get it back. Then think about making sure you're going to get the money back that you invest. Don't lose it. And finally, worry about what everybody focuses on, which is what am I going to make on my money? So that's the first 3-step process.
One more time, because that sounded really, really important. Let's slow down and let's emphasize on those three. Go ahead.
Okay. Number one, keep all the money that you make for yourself, because once you report it to Uncle Sam and pay it to the IRS, you don't ever get it back. So the first thing is to keep the money that you make. And the best way to keep it, the best tax deduction ever invented, is a qualified retirement plan. You're basically getting a tax write-off or a deduction for giving yourself money in the form of a retirement plan. So
sounds
that's
like a
makes
sense deal to me.
Yes, that's right.
So well, keep your money. That's fairly simple. It's a simple concept, right? But not so easy to do.
Right.
Well, it seemed to me when my financial planner said to me, look, you need to look into doing this, it was more like either pay $20,000 in taxes or give yourself $40,000 for retirement. Isn't it something like that?
Yes, that's right. Another way to think of it is for every dollar that you pay in taxes, let's say that in all the taxes that you end up paying, you only keep half the money that you make. To get back to where you started, you have to make 100% return on your money. You make a dollar, you lose 50 cents in taxes, you got to make 50 cents to get back where you started. So our objective in my practice, Main Street Tax and Financial Group, is to keep all the money that you make, number one.
Well,
number
I appreciate two, that. I mean, that's what I want in
exactly.
My tax planner, right?
Right.
I mean, none of us in here work for the IRS, although we're going to file with the IRS. So
sure.
You know, let us strategize before we actually do that.
And I like to really, I'm glad you said tax planner, because tax planning comes first, if you're smart. Then financial planning or retirement planning or estate planning or education planning. Tax planning should come first, because that's keeping the money that you make for yourself.
You know, it would seem to me, and maybe I'm mistaken here, but is it true that the wealthy actually don't pay very much tax? I mean, are there enough strategies out there?
Yes, that was true when I was a kid in the 60s. But then because Rockefeller, for example, wasn't paying any taxes, they started to implement some new tax laws. And the one that's catching a lot of people now is called the alternative minimum tax.
AMT?
Yes. But I basically, if you pay a professional to prepare your taxes, like Tom Nelson or Bob Poppleton, you should get a multiple of what you pay them in savings. H&R Block's even running an ad now saying, we'll check your TurboTax do-it-yourself tax return for you for free. Because when you do it yourself, or when you go to H&R Block, you're not going to keep as much of the money that you make as you would if you went to a professional with a lot of experience.
Well, it sounds smart because they're actually checking it over for you, and if they can create that found money area, why wouldn't you invest with them?
Well, then, they know strategies like multiple entities. You know, you incorporate. You can set up a foundation, your own nonprofit, so that you avoid taxes by having some of the things that you own in a nonprofit. For example, if you're going to have a wealth event by selling your home in Rancho Santa Fe or selling a business that you started, if you don't want to pay tax on that gain, you transfer the ownership of it before you sell it into a nonprofit. Family Research Foundation. That's a very advanced tax strategy, but yeah, we're talking about taxes.
So if someone came to you and said, hey, I've got a business to sell, you would say, well, let's sit down and let's strategize on ways that we can move this around, because if we do it properly, you're not going to have to be paying these huge amounts of taxes. Because
right.
if you get a huge windfall
exactly.
of income, they're going to see that as commission income. It's like 50%. Am I mistaken there?
Right. No, it's good. Keeping the money that you make is number one. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. Some are easy, like a retirement plan, and some are quite complex, like a foundation.
Oh, sounds like you got some pretty unique ways. And we're going to come back and go through, because you had three major points. Keeping it, you went through three major points. We're going to come back to those. Right now, we're going to jump to, I guess it is our in-house author. This is book number four, Brenda?
Yeah.
Well, so what are the other three?
The first one is on estate planning as well, but it's more of a primer for people that have minor children. And then I have one on elder law planning, so helping people that are in high-risk situations figure out how they're going to make it to the end game if they're starting to run out of money. So people that are outliving their money, how can they preserve and protect their home and maybe some other assets through irrevocable trust planning? And then the third one is a business planning book. So a lot of my clients are business owners, so I decided that it would be helpful to write them a book to let them know all the pitfalls that they could walk into if they didn't have proper guidance. And now this one is an expanded estate planning book that actually covers a lot more. So retirement planning, a little bit of business planning, LLC formation planning for real estate, as well as basic estate planning concepts and advanced estate planning concepts.
So the names of the book, just to go back, Safeguarding the Nest, How to Avoid the Catastrophic Costs and Effects of Long-Term Care, and Protecting You and Your Business, A California Guide for Business Owners. And the next one that is coming out, and when is it done?
We are getting close. So now we have the editor has finished the inside. We've got the book cover. We just have to finish our back jacket and then send it off to be published. So we're hoping in the next month. Hopefully it'll be out by the symposium.
Really quickly. Okay, coming up the next month. We just tuned in. We're talking with Brenda Geiger, estate, business, and elder law attorney. Her website is geigerlawoffice.com. That's her website, geigerlawoffice.com.
You know, Brenda, it is amazing to me that you find the time to actually write these books. I mean, it's hard enough doing what you do, and you're a mother of two. I mean, where do you find the time to do this?
I do a lot of things after hours, so after the kids are to bed on the weekend. And, I'm just like everybody else. I get motivated to do stuff, and then I do a lot, and then I kind of take a hiatus. But because writing is a passion for me, it's not work. It's fun. And I dictate a lot, so it's not like I'm just sitting there with a blank piece of paper writing things out. I dictate thoughts, and then, when a chapter idea comes to me, I just put it into play, and then we're ready to string a book together at some point. So I've always written. So in college, I was on the school newspaper. In law school, I was on one of the journals, and I wrote an article and published it there. It's just something I always love to do, so it's a labor of love, I guess.
Well, sure, you've covered a lot of topics. I mean, topics that have come up in your practice. People come in your office, they ask for you to put together an estate plan for them. In the process, there's obviously these questions that come up, and you've put all these thoughts together, and you've begun putting together these books. Now there's almost five of them, right? Four?
I have the fourth one's coming out, like I said, Secrets of Great Estate Planning. That'll be out in the next month. And I'm collaborating with another attorney on an advanced estate planning book, so people that have taxable estates, or maybe they have specific situations where they're trying to protect assets. There are some estate planning strategies we can employ for that. So he and I have been working on that. His name is Dave Fries. He's in Pennsylvania, He's just an awesome, awesome attorney. So I'm really looking forward to that book coming out too. But he and I are kind of lagging behind on that because it's so technical. It's going to take a while.
Well, you know, you've got this symposium coming up. I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, but the symposium that you're coming up, the 2014 Trust and Estates Symposium, is that the best way to get your book, or how would someone go about getting one of those books?
If they go onto our homepage, at the very top of the homepage, there's an icon for each
book. On your website?
On the website, yep.
Which is the Geiger Law Office?
GeigerLawOffice.com or .net. Either one will get you there. Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually been to your site before. You've got a couple. Are the videos still up there?
Yeah, we've got a few videos. I've shot some more. I've got a big goal to shoot a whole lot more video this year, and that's all in the name of helping clients figure out what they need.
So if they go to your website, they're able to download these books for free.
What they do is they fill out the contact page, and we can send them a physical copy of the book, and or we can send them an electronic version. So if they want an electronic version instead of the physical copy, we're more than happy to do that.
So, you know, you're local here in Carlsbad, if anybody's curious about where to go to your office and pick this up. Is that right? You're still in Carlsbad off of Pelham Airport Road?
Yes. Yeah. And we'll ship it to them. So they don't have to. I mean, we're happy to have anybody stop by that wants to come into the office, but we are more than happy to ship it out too.
Is it too early to start talking about this Trust and Estate Symposium you've got going on? What is it when you say symposium? What does that mean?
No, it's actually not too early. We're starting to really promote. So it is in a month. It's on June 6th. It's going to be at the Museum of Music Making from 8:30 until noon. We've got three speakers. And really what it is, it's an educational event. And this year it's centered around business owners. So Section 79 insurance planning. So people that are trying to get more money into retirement and utilizing this strategy, they might be able to do that. I'm going to be talking about gifting trusts for children and grandchildren. And Carl Scheeler is going to be talking about business contracts such as buy-sell agreements and the problems that occur in valuation of a business and just the pitfalls that people run into with that kind of planning.
Okay, so June 6th at the Museum of Making Music, which is right above the Flowerfield Mall.
Yes, it's close by there, yes.
We're talking with Brenda Geiger, her website, GeigerLawOffice.com. That's her website, GeigerLawOffice.com. Talk about the 2014 Trust and Estate Symposium, as well as her new book, Secrets of Great Estate Planning. When we come back, we're going to go through a couple different chapters and topics that are in the book, have her talk just a little bit about that, as well as hear more from Blake Baxter about his simple system for your assets ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. We've been talking with Brenda Geiger, estate, business, elder law attorney, and author. Her fourth book, Secrets of Great Estate Planning, due here in the next month, as well as her 2014 Trust and Estate Symposium coming up in June.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting, Brenda, this thing you've got going on. You've got a lot on your plate, this new book that's coming out. I've got a rough draft right here with me, and we're going to dive into some of the topics here. And I, you know, just for the purposes of really breaking ground, what is estate planning? Just to really just get out there with it.
So I think a lot of people associate estate planning with having a will, but in jurisdictions like California, that would involve probate. So here, estate planning, really we're talking about trust planning. So setting up your revocable trust, making sure you have an advanced health care directive so that you can designate who can make those medical decisions for you if you're not able to, having a HIPAA authorization so that your family members can get information medically about you or even know that you're at the hospital, power of attorney, that's also an important document in an estate plan. And there are a bunch of little ancillary documents that go along with that. But depending on what assets you have, it really depends. Like if somebody had a business, their estate plan is going to look very different than somebody who doesn't. So I think it's largely driven by the assets, the amount of the assets, the complexity of the family situation. So just in general, though, I think most estate plans would cover, you know, revocable trust, power of attorney, healthcare directive, HIPAA authorization. Those are kind of the core documents. And then depending on the client's level of sophistication in their plan, meaning, you know, do they have an estate tax that would be due, or do they have a blended family, you know, where there's two people that are remarried and have kids from prior marriages, things like that, that can complicate a plan and make it necessary to have maybe more than one trust or maybe a little bit more complicated estate plan.
Well, sure. You know, it seems to me that a lot of people do the estate plan, right? They do the estate plan, and then 3 or 4 years later, maybe the family's not together anymore. Maybe there's a new addition to the family, and this is still gathering dust on the shelf when it should be dusted off and rewritten or amended. How often do you recommend that someone reach out, touch base with you to talk about whether or not their trust that they have put in place is still legitimate?
I would say every 2 to 3 years is probably an average. You know, some clients might be a little more than that, you know, if they come into an inheritance or they have a new child, they get divorced or remarried. You know, it just depends on the circumstances of the client. But in general, if not a whole lot's happened, I'd say at least every 2 years you want to be looking at the document, looking at your assets. Make sure that your assets are completely funded into the trust, because that is one of the biggest problems I see with trust plans. People get some new assets or they inherit money, they open up a new account, they buy a new house, and the new assets don't get moved into the trust. And that can be a huge problem.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking with Brenda Geiger, the business and elder law attorney and author with GeigerLawOffice.com, where you can actually go to her site and download 3 of her latest books for free and possibly pick up the 4th one or have it delivered once the final touches are put on it. But more importantly, she's got this Trust and Estate Symposium coming up on June 6th, which you can also register for on the site. Isn't that right, Brenda?
Yeah, under the events tab, there's a form there to register.
Okay, so when I'm skimming this new book that is yet to be published, there are a couple things that are jumping out for me right now. And you know, I guess chapter 4, it really jumps in to say how to fund your revocable trust. And what do you mean by fund? Do you mean that you're actually going to raise the money to put money into it? I mean, what does that mean?
No. So when we have titled documents, so think your car, your house, rental properties, vacation homes, timeshares, brokerage accounts that are not retirement accounts, bank accounts, personal assets, all those types of things can be owned by your revocable trust. But you have to actively take some steps to get that done. So, for instance, we'll prepare a deed that'll transfer the real estate to the trust. And if that isn't done, the trust doesn't own that asset. So it would go through probate.
Which is a good point you bring up, because a lot of people refinanced over this last few years with the low interest rates, mm-hmm. and they had to take those properties out of the trust. And frankly, Ryan and I run into every single day where people have not returned that property to the trust. Is that something that you would overlook and make sure was done?
Actually, we have a client care program in our office that a lot of our clients belong to. And one of the questions we ask them annually is, did you refinance your home? They don't realize that means something to me, because I'm going to pull the title to their house and make sure that it's been put back in. You can't automatically assume that the escrow company is going to put it back in. A lot of times they do, but you can't assume that, because I've seen people that have come to me that refinanced years ago. Maybe now I'm doing a restatement, you know, because it's a new client to us, and I pull title and it's not in trust. And they're like, oh no, it's in the trust. And I said, no, it's not. And I show them the deed and they're just absolutely floored. You know, I remember one client in particular, 7 years it was outside their trust,
mm-hmm.
and they were just mortified.
Yeah, I mean, the trust is set up as a layer of protection. And if these assets are outside that layer of protection, why have the trust in the first place? You know, the assets must be within that umbrella, underneath that umbrella of the trust, in order to be exempt from probate.
Yeah, and I think even more important, you know, I mean, I think it's important to avoid probate, because it's really a difficult process here in California, because it takes so long to get through the process. The executor has to account to the court for every dime they spend and every action they take. And also, it's just really expensive. So why put your family through that? But in the end, you know, you can do so much more to help your family and protect your family and do really great things for them if you have a trust, which you're not going to be able to do if you do nothing, which, you know, you can protect children and or grandchildren with continuing trusts that protect them from creditors, predators, and divorcing spouses, all kinds of great things you can do inside of a trust.
So let's just say that you have a business. Maybe the business is exposing you to liability. If you don't have a trust and something happens, you could possibly be personally liable. And if it's in a trust, maybe it makes it harder for people to get a hold of your personal assets. Is that one of the reasons why someone will get a trust?
Not exactly. There are things called asset protection trusts, like domestic asset protection trusts. Those are self-settled trusts. And there are a whole litany of different assets that you can transfer to those types of trusts. That's a whole different question. But the revocable trust is not meant to protect the grantor from creditors. But if you're talking about if you had an S-corp, for instance, so you have a small business, maybe it's worth $2 million, that is a terrible asset to force through the probate process because the fees on that are going to be astronomical, and it's going to take a really long time to transfer that business to the next generation. So it makes much more sense to have the appropriate provisions in a revocable trust and have that trust own the business, the S-corporation.
So when we're talking about the business side of things, this is something that you're really going to drill down on at your symposium? Is that
different aspects of helping business owners save income taxes as well as estate taxes? Yeah.
So if you're interested in attending Brenda Geiger's Trust and Estate Symposium, more specifically, you're going to be talking about businesses. I mean, certainly there are questions people can ask, general questions about mm-hmm. a trust. You've got 3 books out right now. People are able to get off your website. You're working on a 4th book right now. The symposium is June 6th, 2014, this year, right over there by the Flowerfield Mall in the Museum of Music on June 6th. You know, go to the website, check it out. I've been there. Your site has plenty of, like, videos and things like that to interact with. And, you know, there are so many things that come to mind when we're talking about trust. And, you know, the other thing is this estate and gift taxes. There's been a lot of messing around with that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the latest thing that's going on with estate and gift taxes?
Well, back in the beginning of March, President Obama released his proposal for, and that proposal had some gift and estate tax law changes. So right now, lifetime gifting, generation skipping transfer, and regular death time exemption for estates is all unified. They're all one. You get one lump sum of $5.34 million. So if you give away $2 million during your lifetime, and they weren't annual exclusion gifts, so you know which are exempt from reporting. But let's say you just took a lump sum of $2 million and said, "I'm going to give it to my son or daughter because I want them to have money to go buy a house or something." That would be deducted from your $5.34 million. So you'd only have $3.34 million at death, which you could transfer. So everything's pooled together. President Obama wants to decouple that, and he wants to make the lifetime gifting exemption be $1 million. And he wants to bring the estate tax exemption down to $3.5 million. Whether or not that actually goes into effect, you know, it's anybody's guess. We'll find out in the next couple years here. But just, I think the important thing to remember is that the estate and gift tax laws are always changing, just like every other piece of tax code. It's just something that it morphs over time. So you can never say this is 100% going to be the way it's going to be, even if they do say it's supposed to be permanent.
So as life gets more expensive, as money depreciates and the government taxes you when you make money and you pass away and want to give that to your children, they're actually wanting to take tax on that again because the money's transferring hands in that case.
Yes, yes.
But there are ways to avoid that, which you are aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any questions, give Brenda Geiger a call or reach out on her website, geigerlawoffice.com. She's got the symposium coming up. You can download her free books. You can get another book that's coming out or at least get signed up for this thing when you go to our website and check it out.
When we come back, we're going to talk more with Blake Baxter, tax strategist, about his simple systems for your assets. He went through 3 very important topics. We touched on one in detail. We're going to come back and hit the other 2 ahead of us when we come back. Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM is the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. If you just tuned in, we've heard from Brenda Geiger, estate, business, and elder law attorney. Her website, geigerlawoffice.com. That's spelled G-E-I-G-E-R, lawoffice.com. Now, turning our attention to Blake Baxter, tax strategist. Well, that kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Simple system for your assets. Now, you had three major, I guess, aspects of it. Go through them one more time for us.
Yeah, three, as a segue, the three-step thought process that I try to instill in my clients as a basis for all of our discussions are, number one, keep all the money that you make for yourself. Number two, worry about getting your money back, not losing it. So know what kind of risks you're taking when you before you invest it. And then third, the thing everybody likes to dwell on, how much am I going to make on my investment? Because first you keep the money you make, then you make sure you're going to get it back with the right kind of investments, and then you worry about the return on your investment. And there are some eye-popping returns in years like last year. The best account that I manage is called the Self-Adjusting Trend Following Fund. It was up 53.5%. I just want to say that because we've been harping so much on, you know, keeping your money and not worrying about what you're going to make on it, but you can make good returns.
Frankly, yeah, I'm worried about losing it, right? I mean,
well,
we've been in an economy where people have lost and won fortunes.
That's right.
And, you know, we skip over that keep it section, you know, so I, for one, am a little bit hesitant to, you know, go out there and, you know, just frivolously invest. I'm not suggesting that that's what you're suggesting, but there's actually a formula that you have that, you know, was something that was taught back in the day, which was like, take 100 minus your age. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I will. You know, let me comment on what you just said, because I think most people feel uncomfortable about the economy. They know, even though the market had a good year, it discounts the future, that the economy's not expanding and that we could be in deep trouble. So I think your gut instinct is good. The only reason you start thinking about taking risk with your money and putting it into a growth investment like stock or a stock mutual fund is because of the good returns that your friends made last year. And that's tempting. It makes you feel greedy. So here's what I like to teach people to visualize with respect to their financial assets. I say visualize your financial life as a pyramid. Well, the greatest living investor is Warren Buffett. He's an old timer, the Oracle of Omaha, the Berkshire Hathaway Fund. He's the richest man in the world. He went to Columbia Business School in Manhattan, and he had a couple of professors that wrote a very famous book called Portfolio Theory, Dr. Benjamin Graham and Professor Dodd. And this book simply says, to know how much of your money you should put at risk for growth, you take 100 minus your age. So if Ryan's 37, he takes 37% of his money and keeps it in protected, safe investments like cash, money in the bank, government bonds, and annuities. And then he's free to invest 63% of his wealth, his financial assets, for growth, because he's got a lot of years before he's going to hit age 60 and start spending his savings. And so that's the way that I teach people to visualize their money. And we build a good foundation based on their age. If they're 60 already, 60% is in protected assets.
60? I'm not letting him stop until he's at least 90.
Yeah, right.
You got
well,
ways
the
to go.
Thing
60
about that.
Seems young.
Yeah, well, you know, our kids will live, thanks to medical technology and advances in medicine, to age 120. And I don't care how much money you save, you're going to run out of money by the time you're 120, you know. And I don't care if you work till you're 70 or 80. So these retirement planning products that are being advertised on every major television event, you know, sporting events, Academy Awards, there's going to be a need for these products because people are going to be living so long. And, you know, that's...
So, you know, you talked about your formula, or that formula that was 100 minus the age. Tell us that one more time just so we can get a better grasp of that.
Okay. So the simple formula from Graham and Dodd's book, Portfolio Theory, is you take 100 minus your age to determine what percentage of your financial assets should be invested for growth. Now, growth is synonymous with risk, so That means to get growth, you need to be in something that has growth potential, like stocks, which represent ownership in a business, which businesses tend to expand, or real estate, which tends to go up in value over time. And the rest of the money, the complement, your age, whether it's 37 or 60, is the amount that you should have in protected investments.
We're talking with Blake Baxter, tax strategist. His number, 760-214-0207. One more time, 760-214-0207. Now, you talked about your philosophy there. Keep it, make sure you get it back, principle, what you're talking about, and make it. I think that's kind of
boiled it down. Yeah, and meet your objectives. Then worry about meeting your objectives.
So get it back. I mean, that you kind of went into that with respect to 100 minus your age as far as what amount you're willing to risk.
Right.
That's the idea of getting back in terms of not losing
it. Well, no, getting it back really means there are products that are continuously evolving that hybridize the two, every financial product. You know, people think what we do is so complicated. And I say, no, it's not complicated. It's second grade math, and there is a lot of information, but basically all financial products are devised from only two variables, two elements. The great music of the world is composed with only seven notes. Financial products aren't that difficult. There's two elements, debt and equity. And so bonds are debt, stocks are equity. You know, there's a lot of derivatives of that, and there are combinations. But when I say make sure you're going to get your money back. In the 80s, when I got in the business, there was something that happened that I thought was fantastic. And it was when a large insurance company, Sun America, went into business with Massachusetts Financial Services. They invented the mutual fund in 1926, the Massachusetts Investors Trust. And they said, we, for a fee of about 0.1% a year, we will guarantee whatever the people put in your mutual funds that they'll get it back at the time they die if it's worth less, because they knew it would be worth more in most cases. And that was the beginning of what's called a variable annuity. Lately, variable annuities have become much more expensive and much maligned. They have a lot of money in them, and I use them, but because of the high fees, and it's a way to be in the stock market and get your money back and get a minimum of 5 or 6% a year on top of the highest daily value or the highest quarterly value. So that's a fancy, leading-edge, state-of-the-art financial product for retirement planning. Now we've evolved to things that have no fees or 1% a year fees and still get you your money back with upside potential in the market.
We're talking with Blake Baxter, tax strategist. His number, 760-214-0207, 760-214-0207.
You know, when they say no fees, you know, I always think no free lunch.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit more how is that? Is it that they're guaranteeing a certain rate and they'll take the a premium of that, and they'll pay their fee? I mean, how is it that
The reason no fees, you know, and I should be careful when I say that, but the reason that that doesn't sit well with someone is, you know, that the banks and the insurance companies and the other financial institutions like real estate companies and money management companies, they all are in business to make a profit. And I make 1% a year, if I can, on everything that I do. And so how do I get paid that 1%? Well, either I invoice you as a fee planner because I am a registered investment advisor, or the financial institution will pay me 1% either up front the first year or at least 3 months out, they'll give me 0.25%. So here's how, when you see a product with no fees, the way that they make a profit is by having a hidden fee of like 3 cents per thousand per day that is listed in the it would be listed in the paperwork, prospectus of some sort, or offering memorandum as a 12b1 fee or a marketing fee. So there are hidden fees, even if there's no penalty for early withdrawal and no charge going in. That means 100% of your money is invested on day one.
We're talking with Blake Baxter, tax strategist. His phone number, 760-214-0207. One more time, 760-214-0207. Now, I think what you just said plays well in with the top 10 things that your financial advisor is never going to tell you. And you kind of touched on one real quickly. After the break, when we come back, we're going to go into some of the things your financial advisor just isn't going to let you know ahead of us when
right,
we come back.
On. Thanks.
Welcome, ESPN 1700 AM. We are back. Blake Baxter, tax strategist. As we mentioned, 10 things your financial advisor is never going to tell you, and you touched on one. Go over that one more time and tell us some stuff that our financial advisor isn't going to.
Well, first of all, the reason that a financial advisor may not want to tell you some of the things he knows about is because he wants to earn your business and add value. And a lot of people that have a hobby of watching the financial news, like we all did back during the tech boom in 99. Everybody was trading stocks in their own account online. People that want to do it themselves, they can cut you completely out and buy an exchange-traded fund that's listed on the stock market in their E-Trade account for $5 or $10. So they're not going to tell you about ETFs. Some are very, very good. The one, just as an example that I use, is called HYLD is the symbol. It's the Paradis High Yield Fund. Bonds had a bad year last year. They were down 3 to 8%. So let's say your typical Franklin California tax-free fund paid 3.5% tax-free interest, but it lost 7.5% in share value. So you ended up with a minus 3% loss for the year. The HYLD ETF was up 11% last year, and the dividend yield is 7.6. And that's what I use as a substitute for cash. The client will buy it in their own account, and I make nothing on it, or I'll say, Mr. Client, if you don't mind, I'll charge you a 1% commission one time only, and if you have this for the rest of your life. I don't make any money on that, just the transaction fee. So brokers don't usually tell people about that kind of a thing.
So financial advisor isn't necessarily going to advise someone buy an ETF because there's no money in it for them.
That's right. That's
really
right. That's right.
So that would lead me to understand that everything else they're advising you to buy somehow has money in it for them.
Yes. I mean, that's a suspicion that is well-founded, and it's not the case all the time, but you just have to realize that we're all in business to make a profit somewhere and that we all have overhead to cover.
Of course.
So you have to get some cash flow. Another thing that you don't ever hear about, we call third-party asset managers, but in not using the jargon of the business, I would refer to it as a private money manager. And private money managers aren't like mutual funds that advertise and et cetera. Most of them are no good and can't beat an index, but once in a while you'll find a good one. The one that I love is Thomas Campbell. Out of Plano, Texas. He's an engineer, not an MBA or a quant like a lot of us in the business. And he worked at Texas Instruments and then was hired by Fidelity in Boston. And he was fascinated with financial products, but he thought they're doing it all wrong. Now, Fidelity is the biggest financial institution in the world, biggest money manager. Allianz is number two now. Anyway, he invented his own deal. It's an algorithm that moves money in his fund between four different investments, three mutual funds and a money market. The number one performing mutual fund or investment last year was called Direction 2X. It's an exchange-traded fund, D-I-R-E-X-I-O-N, Direction 2X. It's the NASDAQ 100 index, which is where all the growth companies are, like Google and Microsoft and Apple and Samsung and Oracle and Cisco, et cetera, Qualcomm here in San Diego. So the NASDAQ 100 with a margin, so it's 50% margin. So if the NASDAQ goes up 1%, it goes up 2%. So that thing was up huge last year. That's one of the investments that's in the self-adjusting trend following fund. If that fund starts to falter, his algorithm automatically moves it to the RITE-X 100 fund, which is a no-load mutual fund that is the NASDAQ 100. If the market continues to slump, it moves it to cash. If the market is in a protracted downturn or a prolonged downturn, a, a bear market, it moves it to the RIDEX inverse fund, which is short the market. And that means that you can make money while the market's dropping. And in other words, I don't believe in being long only because, as you said, Brian, we don't feel like the economy is trustworthy and that it's going to expand and grow. So basically, I don't like to be long only. I like to be hedged. This investment is in the market big time, but if the market isn't performing well, it can go short the market.
Well, you certainly said a mouthful there. A lot of complicated stuff. Blake Baxter, his phone number, 760-214-0207, 760-214-0207. And you actually called out some very specific funds that you believe in. I mean, that's kind of the secret sauce to some degree, right?
Well, right. The real secret sauce is Thomas Campbell's algorithm, which nobody knows what the four variables are. The reason people cannot make money trading stocks in their own account online is because when the news comes out, it's instantaneous, and the companies back on Wall Street with the fastest hardware execute the trades and get all the profit in a trade. It's called computer program trading. And Thomas, instead of having an algorithm with 1,000 variables or rules, his only has 4 rules. We don't know what they are, but his performance is great. He was up 53.5% last year.
That's extraordinary.
And the NASDAQ was up 35%, which was great. The S&P was up 30%. It was a good year, but he beat the index, so that was not easy to do.
You know, one of the things that we do on the show is we bring things to you that we find that are extraordinary. Blake Baxter is an extraordinary guy. He's actually willing to have you sit down with him and go over this pyramid that he's created to create the financial future that you have in mind for yourself. If you would like to sit down with Blake Baxter and have him go over your financial future, reach out to him directly at 760-214-0207. He's got an MBA, registered principal, Main Street Tax and Financial Group. He's right here in Encinitas. Great guy, been around for a long time. 760-214-0207. That's the number. You know, we've actually got Brian Bohan in the studio right now to talk a little bit about what's going on right now with mortgage interest rates. Brian?
Rates are down. They're looking good. What I'd like to talk about today is renting versus buying. If you've got if you're renting a home right now and you're paying $1,300 a month or more, with 5% down, you could buy a home for $300,000, and after your tax savings, be at about the same point as if you were renting it for $1,300 a month. Or if you're paying over $1,600 a month in rent, you could purchase a home for $400,000. And while the appreciation is here, rates are great. Lock in the term for 30 years. It's a great way to go.
You know, although interest rates are not at an all-time low, they've certainly come up from their all-time low. They're still really, really good. If you'd like to find out if you can refinance or get a purchase money pre-qualification, reach out to a guy that I trust, Brian Bohan, 760-802-4648. That's the number. Again, 760-802-4648.
Now, you mentioned on your notes here the financial products seem to be in a constant state of evolution. We only have a few minutes here, but talk to us about some of your favorite new developments in the universe of retirement products.
Okay, thank you very much, Ryan. Sorry, Mac. Brian was sitting here next to me getting ready to talk about
it. It's quite all right. I've been called worse.
I called you Brian. That's okay. So, as I mentioned, because of the complaints or the bad publicity of high fees that now have exceeded 3% a year in some of the most popular retirement planning products, which would be known as a variable annuity from MetLife, Prudential, ING, Pacific Life, Lincoln Financial, all the big financial institutions. There is an index product with a proprietary index that Allianz had Barclays Bank develop, and it will be available to all the other financial institutions in 2015. It's the Barclays U.S. Dynamic Balance Index. And as, you know, I like the algorithm, I like the hedging. This is an algorithm that moves an index every day between the S&P 500, which is the 500 biggest stocks in the United States, and the aggregate bond index. So if the stock market's doing well, like it did in February, it's 70% S&P 500, 30% bonds. If the stock market's doing poorly, like it was in January, it's only 30% S&P 500 in stocks, 70% the other way. Well, this index, we call it the BUDBI for short, Barclays U.S. Dynamic Balance Index. Allianz has a retirement product called 222 that is the BUDBI index, and it has no fees, it has no market risk, it has no cap, it has a 15% upfront bonus fully vested on day one. So if 100,000 goes in there, it's worth 115 on day one. The index is credited with interest once a year on the anniversary date, and it's by a formula. The formula is the BUDBI index minus 1.9% times 150%. So it's a 50% bonus after you reduce the index's performance by 1.9.
Wow. Well, if you weren't writing as fast as Blake can talk, get a hold of him at 760-214-0207. One more time, Blake Baxter, 760-214-0207. Also with us today, Brenda Geiger, estate, business, and elder law attorney. Her website, GeigerLawOffice.com. One more time, GeigerLawOffice.com. And with our mortgage minute, Brian Bohan, 760-802-4648. One more time, 760-802-4648. We'll talk to you next week.